Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
An Erio's original.
Welcome to the Mother of All Shows, the podcast that takes a deep dive into motherhood and parenting with a comedic twist. Because if we can't laugh after we blamed our toddler for hiding our keys only to find out that we put them in the freezer instead of the salmon, then we're all screwed. I'm your host, Kimmy Gatewood. I'm a comedian, director, and mother of an adorable four-year-old. In my youth, I always talked about adopting a child because there were so many kids that needed a good home and I didn't want to destroy my body. Hey, I was in my 20s and my body was fine. We've all been there. I could just go to the local orphanage, find my little redheaded Annie and be singing Tomorrow by Sundown, right? I think most of us understand the basic idea of adoption, but how does it actually work? The only time it's in the media these days is if someone's trying to stop gay people from adopting or if Brangelina are back together again. How do you ask about adoption or being adopted without sounding like an unwoke Mrs. Hannigan? Today, I get both sides of the story. What's it like to adopt and what is it like to be adopted? So let's start with my chat with two adoptive mothers. Jean Philippik is a comedic actor on AP Bio and recently adopted an infant son in a closed adoption, and writer Carrie Church Cooper, who adopted two sweet girls with two open adoptions. Here is our conversation. Let's pretend I'm someone who's getting going to adopt a child. Mm-hmm. Tell me the process, please.
Ooh. How much?
It's a lot.
Take it, Jean.
The seminar we went to.
Let's streamline it.
Yeah. The seminar we went to kind of broke it down like you create a profile, kind of like a dating profile, and different lawyers do it differently. Some people have you make an actual book with pictures and stuff, but you kind of need to, in these types of adoptions, the birth mother chooses you. In an open adoption, in these kinds, the one we signed up for anyway, the birth mother gets to look at different couples, gay couples, straight couples, all sorts of different things, and choose what they want for their child.
There is like immediately so much bias subjectivity, like being an actor in this whole process, huh?
What do you mean?
Like you show your picture, you see like if you're gay, if you're straight, if you're like
if you're a single mom or a single dad, and there definitely is. I mean, the lawyer, the lawyer sort of helped us because he's working with, you know, women who place children for a very long time, and he was able to sort of explain. Like a dating, if you hired a dating coach to, you know, he
which
was sort
Carrie
of able to,
which I also, but
that's a different podcast for another time. But I was.
Wait, you were a dating coach?
I was for a long time, yeah.
And do you think the dating process and the adoption process
are similar?
They're
the exact same thing.
No.
They're the exact same thing.
Oh my God.
I mean, other than you don't go on dates with your birth mother, but the feeling of hoping someone picks you and trying to put your best foot forward and picking flattering photos.
But you have
sure
to be yourself too, because
you have to be your true
self. Because if you try to create this other idea when the person meets you, they're going to see you anyway, and they can also change their mind. So you, in our situation, you make this connection with the birth mother chose us, and then or could choose us, and then we set up a phone call when we found out about her medical history and her like addiction and health and stuff like that. And we find out about the baby and her family, where she lives, that sort of thing. So if we think this is feasible, we say yes. Then we set up a phone call. And once you set up that phone call, it's pretty much like the lawyer said, like, you're not going to set up that phone call and then change your mind. It's really, you can at any time, but you don't want to do that to these women who are like, really in rough circumstances. Nobody wants to place their baby for adoption. Nobody thinks like, someday I'm going to hopefully place a baby. You know, it's really hard. So then you kind of cover their costs, not kind of, you cover their rent, utility, medical costs. A lot of them are on Medicaid and stuff though too. So that's not a lot of the birth mothers. I don't mean to say them, but and then sometimes you're there for the birth, which is another thing you have to plan out. And that's different for everybody. Like, some people we spoke to were like, get in there and cut the cord and be, you know, I was like, I don't want to cut someone else's cord. That's not okay. That, you know, sure, if someone else is open to that, that's not something I want to do. It's such a delicate and complicated.
You're totally situation. Right. I mean, that's what I've realized is like, I think it's adoption is something that people have a lot of opinions about and or misconceptions. And the most simple thing, the most important thing to say about adoption is every single situation is completely different. Mm-hmm. So there's so many factors, the chemistry between adoptive mother and birth mother, the circumstances of the birth mother. I mean, my two, without getting too into it, like my two situations while they were, I was chosen by the birth mother ahead of time. Mm-hmm. My lawyer did it a little bit differently where there were essentially two scenarios. One was if he found a birth mother, he would give that birth mother like, you know, three or four phone numbers and she would talk to three or four birth mothers and she would select and who she connected with.
Oh God, extra stress on the phone call.
100%. And then you would fly, you know, meet and agree in person. Yes, we're going to move forward with this. There were also some scenarios where we would get a call saying there was a baby born last night in Nevada. Here's the basic medical information, like what you said, like if there was addiction issues or what the circumstances of the birth were, if certainly if the baby was born with anything
right,
in
because
the system.
You yeah. know, you get that information as somebody, you know, right. I'm not a Lottie, not adopted, but is that the proper term?
She's not adopted.
You've got it wrong.
I got shoot. Yes. It's so funny. I keep wanting to make jokes. I'm just going to make them and you guys
no,
stop
you can
me
make
from
plenty
making
of
them.
Jokes.
Okay.
We'll just call Lottie
a lawyer
vaginal
is like a doula
baby.
For adoptive parents, right?
Yeah. No, it's, I think.
So lawyers are doulas for adoptive parents.
Yes, exactly.
They walk you through the whole process. But, you were saying
that sometimes
you get all this medical history and like to have to make a decision. Choice is like, it's very self-reflective. Mm-hmm. Like, this is like a lot of stuff that you think about yourself and like, what can I handle?
I'm sure you had to fill out, there's a questionnaire even before the babies and the birth moms and all that stuff when you hire the lawyer. Mm-hmm. You have to sit down with me, it was with my husband, and fill out this like questionnaire where you say basically what you'd be open to. And it's, right. I mean, it's the longest list of like a baby with one arm, a baby with no arms, a baby with diabetes, a baby
really?
With heart issues that are solvable, a baby with heart issues that are not solvable. I mean, it's you just
schizophrenia
like,
in the family, some marijuana smoking during the pregnancy,
exactly,
minimal alcohol in the first trimester. Yeah. I mean,
you learn a lot about intense. Which drugs are actually more dangerous because most likely you're going to come in contact at some point with an opportunity or a situation that might involve drugs.
Yep.
For us, like, you know, you start going, okay, you realize this isn't great. Obviously, we would love to not have any drugs, but you start going, well, that's not that bad. You know, you start, alcohol's actually the worst for babies, which you would have thought it. And so there were a couple situations where we would get a call basically saying there's a baby born 3 days ago. Here's a minimal amount of information. We would have the right to submit because now here's a woman sitting in a hospital. She's given birth. She's decided to place the baby. She has a lawyer. That lawyer will come to her and hand her four or five files with,
God.
So you have a letter at the ready that explains who you are, like a bio. And then this woman goes through and selects. And then you get a call saying, okay, she picked your profile. Do you want to move forward?
And then you do your monologue, one dramatic.
Yes, yes, exactly. Tap dance and a... But
wow, you got... I mean, Jean's a really good actress.
I spoke to two birth moms before the birth mother of my daughter. And, you know, you don't know. It's like when you're dating, you're like, okay, maybe this is my husband. Like, this guy's cool. I don't know. Like, what am I supposed to feel?
Right.
And then you meet the person and like our conversation was just a different thing. And it was like, I knew this for 10 seconds. It was just this crazy. And we talked for 45 minutes and like,
aww,
that went forward. And it's a weird thing when it's the right connection. And I think, with our second, we were a little more cautious and careful because we had our daughter to consider. So some of those situations that presented themselves that were a little darker, you know, where we were thinking of the narrative of like, okay, now how is this going to affect our existing child? And what are we going to have to navigate if there's violence or jail or, you know, like where you're going, okay. And then of course you feel it's a really hard thing. I was really emotional because it's not that baby's fault. But
they're
then
just a fresh soul born into this world. But you know, you're going to have a relationship with, within an open adoption for the rest of your lives.
And
so you have to
be ready to take that
on as a part of your, a different definition, but of your family.
Yes. But I also, you know, I say that to people all the time. among the many stupid things you hear consistently as an adoptive parent is like, I don't know, you just never know what you're going to get. And I'm like, you don't know what you're going to get when you give birth. Like,
yeah,
my father was manic depressive. My mother was depressive. Like, my father committed suicide, not to get really heavy, but like, you know who was a baby who genetically really was not a prize? This girl. So it's just crazy to me. And I think it's just so much about control. You know, people think the idea of parenthood, the idea of adoption, it's also terrifying. People are just trying to exert some control, and the unknown is scary, but that's parenthood. And that's what you learn from the day you have a child, whether you pop one out or you get one, you know, it's
how do we define these new families that we're creating? And like, there's no language for like, they're your daughter's birth parents and they're a part of our family or a part of our narrative.
How I think it's just such a gray area.
Yeah.
Like we were saying earlier, Jen, like it depends. Some people, like the birth mother, comes and moves closer and is, they see each other once a month, or they're very much in their life. And in that way, it seems like, yes, you're part of our family.
Right.
But in some cases, it's not. So I think that's one of the hard parts about adoption is you think, like, I'm making this choice. And like you said also, like, I have control over this, so we'll name it this. And it's just such, it's all
like
gray area.
Divorce. I mean, you could say the same thing about a divorce and remarriage and step-parents. Like, any kind of atypical family, it's going to be circumstantial to the people involved and the attitude of the adults and the needs of the child. Yeah,
my mom got married when, she got remarried when I was... when Lottie was like 2 months old. And so I have this, my mom's husband, I'm like, is he my stepdad now?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the thing where you're like, how do I, is he my stepdad, or is he just like my mom's husband, or is he, but he's Lottie's grandfather, I guess, you know, but it just so happened so late in life. It's so weird, like, to try to define it. Yeah. And like, you know, I think maybe if there's like, if people are okay with not necessarily being able to define what the adoptive families are.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. I feel like halfway along the way, everything sort of exploded where we knew we had no control over anything. Mm-hmm. And initially,
you mean in the adoption process?
Yeah, initially we were like, we want a baby that resembles us because we don't want to tell everyone, we don't want to have a conversation with strangers about adoption.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. But then our friends who adopted said, you're going to have it all the time anyway, so let go of that. So then they're called filters in our situation too, of just like race,
like,
or
dating.
Gender, or you can pick different things. And we were just like, okay, we don't care about that. But we just realized that it wasn't going to be neat. And I grew up in a very like, quote unquote, normal, neat, orderly, this is what everything has its title and place. And it's just like, nope. So once you kind of let go of all of that, it's just like, I don't feel the need to have a correct label for things right now. I just know that we're going to figure it out as we go, which is a little like improv too, where you just kind of like, just kind of saying yes and going forward and not knowing exactly what's next, but you're in a good place and you trust your choices and that kind of thing.
But it's kind of
and
a great...
have an awesome callback in like 10 minutes and you're going to nail it. Audience applause.
Someone will edit you.
I think it's
you need it.
Maybe you...
Hopefully.
Yeah. I feel like it's a great lead up to parenthood. Like for me, I think it was really the best thing that could have happened to me personally, because I think I'm a very different kind of mother, because it helped me let go of a lot of control. Like I wonder if I hadn't had to let go of a lot of the ideas of what my, you know, pregnancy would be like, or my motherhood would be like, or the birth, or my child having my eyes and my husband's whatever. Like once I was able, you know,
my
once
husband's
I,
whatever,
everything
is ass. Yeah. I wanted to say it's ass.
Definitely. Yeah. And
sorry,
you know, I know. I'm like,
what is your husband's ass?
He's got a great ass. That's why I was laughing, because I was just like,
that's what she's going to say. She just said, called it a whatever.
Now I know next time we go to Legoland, no.
Where
to
you're
keep
looking
you away from my husband's ass. No. I was just like, I think it made me a much chiller parent, because it from the get, I was like, well, I don't know. We just got to roll with this, you know? And it really made me less neurotic. Not that I'm still not neurotic, but I think it just turned out to be the absolute best way that I could have become a mom for me.
What you just said also reminded me of something. You also have to meet with a social worker back on the, like, what's the recipe for adoption, or what is the kind of track? You put your information out there. Somebody chooses you, or you make this connection, but you also do something called a home study where a social worker comes in and does an extraordinarily thorough rundown of you and your partner and your history. I'm divorced. Why did you get divorced? Have you gone to therapy? How is your relationship with both your parents? How are you disciplined? Have you ever been arrested?
That's a lot to bring up.
It sure is when you're already like, I'm sad. Sensitive, I had so many miscarriages and we just want to have some good news. And anyone can fucking get pregnant and have a baby and I have to go through this hoop. But if I was placing my child, I would sure want them vetted too. But our social worker had said to us that she adopted a son as well. And she said that at one point he was like, where's my birth mother? Or where did I come from? Or some open-ended question where she was like, oh God. And she was driving because I remember her telling me a story and like fake holding a steering wheel. And she was like, well, she lives in Tennessee. And he was like, okay.
Yeah.
And she was like, you don't have to over-answer every question.
All right.
She's like, oh, that's so helpful. Yeah.
That
you don't need to know everything 100%. Right away.
No, that...
High school was tough.
I think I actually read it somewhere, which is like when they ask a question, answer it and then wait and see if that satisfies them. Mm. And for talkers, like I'm sure we all are, and you think about these conversations with your kids from the day they're born, it's very easy to go like, here we go. And it's true. Like, you know, my daughter was like, you know, when she asked about skin color, you know, and then I go, well, remember we met Trisha and Jonathan and Trisha's skin is pink like mommy's and Jonathan's dark like Keaton's. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, well, when you mix those together, you get your caramel skin. And she goes, okay. And like, same thing. And then I was like, so I was like, okay, pause there. Like, and now she knows that. And but it's amazing to me how conscious she is of skin color. And this is probably a different podcast, but just, you know, not in a negative or positive way, just in a factual, she'll once a week just comment on this person is this color or this person is this color as she moves through the world. My kids are colorblind and she doesn't have judgment on it, but she's
especially
aware
because
of it.
It's so important for her. Mm-hmm. Like, this is different, so how's it working for everybody else? Like,
right, it's identity also, you know, finding her place, and everybody's looking for labels like we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, my all my nieces and nephews are mixed color skin. Mm-hmm. And
yes, I did.
And
know
we took her, we took my one of my nieces to Florida, and she says, I wish I had peach skin like you guys. And like, it was heartbreaking to hear that. But then you're like, okay, this is opening. Like, she's clearly needing to have a conversation about why. Go back to, okay, so you have to get deep in your psychological shit when you get a home visit from a social worker.
Mm-hmm. And they immediately, it's like four visits or something. And then there are visits after the placement
four
as well.
Four visits?
I think so. There's a lot of paperwork that gets filled out. Okay. They interviewed me. She interviewed me separately from Brian, so there
like
was like
interrogation
a 3-hour
style. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, cool.
She brought a low light down over my head and turned off all the other
make
lights.
Make sure you don't get hit. You're not in an abusive relationship.
We smoked cigarettes. It was cool.
Oh my god! Like, I didn't even know we had good lighting in our house.
I mean, did they check your car? So she was like, "We need to go outside do a vehicle check. Do the brakes work and the signal?" And I was like, "Are you fucking kidding? Tick tick tick. Here you go. Our signals work." I was so.
I mean, it was like before we had been chosen, and she was like, "You have to cover these electrical outlets." And I was like, "Well, when there is a baby, I will do that."
Yeah. He had gates and everything.
But there was a lot
everything.
Of conversation about if you disagree with your husband, how does he react? Like, they really do try to figure out your dynamic and make sure that there's not a volatile situation.
So
or
what you're saying is all adoptive parents are in strong-ass relationships and have safe,
no problems.
Working cars.
No problems. No knives, no alcohol out in the open.
Right.
Covered outlets.
So you have to hide the knives and alcohol and everything.
So, okay, you have to hide your knives, alcohol. Does your car work? Are there any other weird things that you were like...
Well, you get a blood test, fingerprinted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Background check. Blood.
Physical.
Physical.
Yeah. You have to take CPR classes and baby CPR. And
we had
stuff.
To take. You guys are
superior parents. I'm just going
to
say that.
We
right
had to
now.
Take transracial adoption classes at Vista.
I remember what I was going to say before, which is why I picked that pen. The social work had said worker had said to us that there's grief all throughout. Adoption for the parents who are adopting most likely have had some grief, some infertility or something. Sometimes people just choose to adopt and don't carry that. But for the adoptive children, there is always going to be this grief as well that they, if it is an abandonment issue or that they didn't remain with their biological parents. And she said, don't try to think that this adoption will solve your grief or their grief. Mm. But what you will do, I'm going to say grief a lot, but you both, what you have together is that you both have these things that you grieve. So you're sad about this. I'm sad about this. And I understand what it is to be sad. I'm not going to try and fix it. I'm not, it doesn't fill the hole. Like, it's not like we adopted you, so you're never going to be sad. It's just like, you're going to be sad on and off throughout your life about that. I'm still sad about infertility stuff, even though we have a baby and have this family. If someone talks about breastfeeding, I can't relate, or some, you know, sometimes when kids
do resemble their parents. I'm like, well, that must be nice. And they're like, okay, that's just not how it's working for us. Okay. But it's always going to be there. So thinking that it fixes stuff, it was really helpful for her to say that, that mm-hmm. this doesn't fix all that.
So you're not setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot. Messy. Yeah. You know, I know my kids are going to need things I can't provide them, which is a humbling feeling because you love them so much, especially when they're little, that you just feel like I'm going to protect them. I'm going to provide for them. I'm going to give them everything they need. I'm going to live my life to give them what they need. And the idea that no matter how hard I go at that, there are things they'll need that I can't provide them. And so I continue to just let that be fact and let that
I hope that's true. Evolve, I mean, I think that's true of all parenting in general. The faults that we find in ourselves and mm-hmm. like that we can't give a child everything and we could give them everything. These people are millionaires and billionaires and they can't give their child everything and they have nothing and they can give their child like as much as humanly possible. But the awareness is, I mean, honestly, like I'm kind of blown away by your self-awareness as like a parent and a human. Like, it's like, it's just something I guess you have to face with when a social worker is coming into your house.
It's really helpful though to have those conversations about how are you going to discipline this kid? And I was like, oh, we know. And then I was like, oh, wait, we are exactly on the same page here. So what do you think about this? And how are we going to do this? And what to have someone who is an expert say like, never do this and always, you know, like, oh, okay. That's, it's really helpful, even though it's a lot to go, you know, it's a lot of a giant hoop to jump through. Yeah. But it gives you a lot of prep to be a parent.
Yeah.
So just the conclusion to your story of, the first adoption fell through and then I know this story, but can you tell?
Sure. Carrie, 2 days later, I mean, the next day we went and met with the lawyer and I was so devastated that I was like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm so sad. I'm sick of having bad news, blah, 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 blah. And Brian, my husband, was like, no, we need to talk and, you know, say like these were issues that we didn't know if this woman was vetted correctly. And there's a lot of relationships in that system. And did this one just kind of fall through the cracks? Like, we needed to kind of explain our situation and let them know how we felt. And also there was an emergency list. So our friends who had that one fall through had got put on this emergency list. And thank goodness they had said that to us too. So Brian was like, put us on that list. If there's a last minute, that's not an open relationship, whatever, put us on it. And I was like, yeah, we are so sad right now, but we're also ready because we had friends of ours had done this last minute registry and
I remember that.
So we had all these gifts and everything in our bags packed and just like, so we put it all away and went home. And then the next day, I mean, we had like emptied out the refrigerator because I'm like, we're going to be in Michigan for 2 weeks. I don't want the butter to go bad. So let's eat all the butter, whatever. Like, we didn't just eat butter.
Just scoopfuls of butter. We have to do this for the baby.
So I was like, Brian was like, I'll put all the stuff away because we didn't want to just look at a crib, unbuilt crib or whatever. And then got home and they called and they were like, this baby was born in a hospital in the Valley. And do you want to come? And we were like, what? And then we're like, I don't know. Who is this woman? Is she scamming? Is she lying? Right. Is this baby sick? And so the next morning we went to the hospital and the pediatrician was like, this baby is fine. And we were like, no, do every test. We lied to. But Bruce was just sitting there like, and I just thought when his birth mother didn't want to know even the gender. It was too upsetting for her. And she just, he stayed in the NICU, not the maternity ward, because she didn't want to have that connection at the time, which I just can't imagine. As a woman who's given birth, I'm sure you can't imagine either what that would be like to have to go through that. And she knew she couldn't take care of him. And she had written some paperwork saying like, she has a daughter and she's like, I can't take care of, she was a single mom. I can't take care of my daughter or a baby, let alone both of them at the same time. So she was really doing the most painful thing for the best thing for her kids. Anyway, we went to the NICU and the nurses there were like, this baby is healthy. I'm like, we don't know. And she's like, we see unhealthy babies here. This baby
his
is
hair
so
alone
fun.
Is a he, national treasure.
He's got
treasure.
A lot of hair. He's a super content. I was like, this is traumatic. He's content. He is a happy boy. Yeah. He's just really miraculous. Like, and people were like, it's the one you were meant to have. And I just don't feel like any baby could be the baby we were meant to have. But it is a wonderful ending to a really sad story. But it could have just been like, we didn't match and we never matched. I mean, that could happen too. Just like, and people are like, you'll get pregnant after you adopt. I mean, people just want to put a bow on things sometimes. And it's not always like that. But
people project their own ignorance or fear, usually fear, onto a situation. So I also go crazy when people are like, watch, you'll get pregnant. And I just want to be like, bitch, you don't know my infertility situation. Like, the hand of God would have to reach down and shove a baby up there. You know? And it's like, and so.
I'd pay to see that, Carrie. It's not going to be your next screenplay.
I know people mean well, but I really fucking hate people, that.
Well, because most. What they're saying, and this comes up time and time again, is your motherhood is just slightly less than my motherhood or the real way. You know,
you'll get what you really need and want. It'll solve it.
You know, and I had an educated, beautiful, like normal woman I've known for a decade say to me the first time I told her we were adopting, are you going to have a real baby too? I mean, people say crazy shit. And I try not to like eviscerate people because the reality is that's their own fear talking or their own, they're trying to imagine themselves in that situation.
Sure.
Or they're looking at a baby. I mean, listen, I look at my baby sometimes and I go, thank God this woman was in a situation where she couldn't keep her. Thank God she had to give her up or whatever you want to call it. It's like the most amazing and like generous and like selfless thing a person can do. Like, you can get an abortion. You can leave your baby on the steps of a firehouse. Like, to make a choice to look at families and consciously choose somebody and then like agree to an open adoption. Like, I text photos to the birth parents, and every time I do, there's like a part of me that's like, sorry, like, this is amazing, but like, you're missing this, you know?
Right. Yeah. Oh, wow. Carrie.
Yeah. Even Mother's Day is sad too. I think I thought about God, that woman. Guys. Like, it was my first Mother's Day, but I was like, this woman doesn't know where this boy is today. Like, that's really hard too.
Oh my God.
And she, on his birthday. Yeah.
They're not these women who are like, oops, here.
Yeah,
like,
nobody
throwing you
way.
Baby. God. Like, yeah.
I really liked what you said about the grieving process or what the social worker said. I think that was a really profound way to think about so many things in life, you know, like just existing and like, it's not going to solve anything by doing this thing, you know.
But yeah, grief just continues. It just lingers. It just like lives in us the rest of our lives when we have big loss. And it's
people
crazy.
Want people to be okay. They it makes them comfortable, so they want to be like, oh, you have a baby now, you're okay now, like that happened and now it's over. And it can be both. I mean, that's how life is. You can be happy and
what?
Still be grieving
happy
something.
And sad.
Yeah.
Do-doop, do-doop. Okay, adoption can cost as much as $50,000, but resources exist to help offset some expenses. God damn.
Yep.
That is a lot of money. That is a lot.
There's a company called Adopt Help. We did not use them, and I don't know a ton about them, but I do know that they have resources for grants and scholarships, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. There's also an adoption tax credit if your income is under a certain amount. There's like a $18,000 tax write-off or something. It's just fucking expensive. It should be less expensive.
Also, you have to make these profiles. Mm-hmm. You have to
travel.
We bought 100 profiles.
You're
great. We printed them up.
Expense as well.
Also just
emotional expense.
Paying for the brochures from this woman in Wisconsin who makes these brochures. Okay,
you
great.
You have to get a Gene and Brian brochure?
Oh, yeah.
And
you'll
it
never see it. It's the grossest thing ever.
Yes, ditto.
I would like to burn them all. No, never. And I think I wrote the whole thing too because we were just both like, whatever. And I was like, Brian thinks Gene is the greatest cook. And I'm like, I don't care. And then we were like, what kind of music do you like? Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. I'm not gonna say that. Adele. Like, what's too cool? What's cool? Like, but we then at one point they were like, we need you to send more profiles. We've sent them all out. I'm like, another $800 for profiles. Okay, they're just, and then we have to get fingerprinted again or blah blah blah. They're,
money
the
starts to feel
are,
like monopoly money.
It
like
is
you
insane.
Just start going like, you know, and
wow. What would you what is there? Yeah.
But there are grants.
To?
We qualified for a grant. Before we did go through AdoptHelp, but we also, before that, someone had mentioned that the tax credit happens after the finalization. So if you apply, or that tax credit will happen after everything, which is an awesome thing when you're totally depleted and still need diapers and everything. But there are several, if you just Google adoption grants, things will come up, and there is help out there because people want babies, you know, to go to good homes, and it shouldn't. Having money should not be a requirement.
Oh my God. I mean, there's so many kids. There's so many kids, you know, that. There's so many families who want to take these babies that wind up in foster care. And the idea that I'm so grateful we had the money to do it, not that we didn't have other better things we could have spent, not better things, but like not that we didn't have another place we would have wanted to put that money. Like it wasn't easy for us, but we could at least, thank God, do it. And when you realize, oh, I can't conceive naturally, and then you realize if I didn't have this money, I couldn't be a mom. It's like heartbreaking.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. It's
and it's also like this baby costs $50,000 and another baby is like doesn't is free or what it's just like or you get paid
right, to have to put a price tag on a child's life is like this well, is also fucked up.
The sad thing is in most of those situations the money doesn't go to the birth mother. You know, those situations astronomical attorney fees and like referral fees.
Yeah, there's a huge advertising fee and
And a lot of times
processing and
advertising fee for what?
Like putting your to keep everything online and keep
so that birth mothers can find you.
Yeah.
Like to basically like a web
host their website
like advertising for like so birth moms call my lawyer and say I'm pregnant, I don't know what I'm going to do and he has a long conversation with them and then
they've got a
hotline if he's going to work with her
24 hours a day. People
Did you cost $50,000 for as a dating coach?
I, you know what? No. And I, but I should have.
God damn. That is
it's a lot of money.
You should have social workers for a dating coach. Yeah.
But also here's one thing I'll say too. And like, I were in a very lucky situation where we were able to do that. Like I'll say that again. And it, we didn't have to sell our house or like, you know, the, it's like it all, the money doesn't matter at the end of it. You know what I mean? Like it, it becomes like you go, it came in, it came out, we're making more. I'm not going to think about how much we'd have in savings if we didn't do it. I'm not going to think about what I could have spent. It doesn't matter. You have your kids. Like it's a daunting idea. And I think it probably keeps a lot of people from pursuing it or coming around to adoption easier because they're just thinking I need $60,000 in cash. That's insane. If you had ever said that to me, never mind twice in 4 years, I would be like, what? but it's, you know, just don't let that stop you. Like there are also, you know, there's help out there, but even if.
And you can foster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank is there you. Anything else that you guys wanted to say to like just a small nugget of wisdom to anyone who's maybe nervous or like going through something that you
it's
see them and hear them?
The parents? Greatest decision I ever made.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. It's so hard. But then once you are over the hard part, it all melts away.
Yeah.
Like the money stuff and all of the scrutiny and the stuff that just feels so impossible. I don't care at all.
And really quick, I never feel like there's anything that I missed out on. Like I don't go like, I never feel like my motherhood is in second place, which I know is like, I would be a monster if I said it was, but I feel like this was exactly, and I'm not a like everything happens for a reason person, but I feel like I got the kids, like my kids in the best way for me and our family. And now I'm like, thank God I didn't get pregnant. Like, thank God. Like, what if I had a baby naturally, for lack of a better term, as you said, I'm like making a face,
the
you know,
right way.
Then I wouldn't have Marlo and Keaton. And I agree. Like, that doesn't mean that like they were a star and fell from the sky, but it's just like, I just go like, everything is exactly the way that I would have hoped it. My motherhood is awesome. And it feels like, I think, I imagine growing a baby inside of you is pretty incredible, but I also feel like it's pretty incredible that I found this little girl, like that we found our way to each other somehow, and that she gets to be my kid. Like that feels like its own separate, amazing thing.
Up next is my conversation with comedic actor Jessica Elena Eason. She is a mother of two and was adopted as an infant from Colombia. Take a listen after the break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I love being adopted, and I mean, it runs a spectrum in my family. We're all adopted. I have two other sisters and they're also adopted, and we feel very differently about it. But for me personally, I love it. So I probably talk about more than most people, because if I hear any mention of adoption, I am
You're right there.
Yeah. And I'm like, I love it.
It's
I'm
like
adopted
me,
too.
It's like me with figs, because I have a fig tree, you know, I just get in there.
That's right. It is like you. It's
way,
true.
Way to go, Kimmy.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I love it. It is the same thing. It's just hearing a key word, like it's like a whistle for a dog. I'm like, what? Yes.
That's really cool that you talk about it so much.
I love it because I love it. I love being adopted.
So wait, you have two other siblings.
I do. Yeah. My middle sister is, I was adopted from Bogota, Colombia. My mm-hmm. parents are white, and I grew up in Massachusetts. My middle sister is also adopted from Bogota, Colombia. We are not biological. She has since met her birth mother.
Wow.
And her, what would he be, stepbrother? And my mom and my dad have met her stepmother. They've met up in Florida. Yeah, I mean, they all know each other. And my sister looks just like her birth mother. It's crazy. I mean, of course that makes sense. But when you're adopted your whole life, you don't look like anyone in your family. It's kind of bizarre. When I saw her, I was like, oh my God, this woman looks just like you. It's nuts.
You guys must be related.
I get it. Because my whole life I grew up with people that don't look like me. And they're my family. And I don't think anything of it until people point it out. And people always point it out. I'm so used to it now. I'm like, yeah, whatever.
When did you find out that you were adopted?
I've always known. I can't remember a time not knowing to know mm-hmm. because it was so open in my family. So it was just a known thing. People have feelings about adoption, uh-huh. people that are not anywhere part of adoption. And of course, people that are adopted have them too. But okay. I think people outside have a lot of feelings of like, I think it all stems from we don't talk about women and we don't talk about reproduction. And so when women have infertility problems and they can't have children in that way, because mm-hmm. they do have children eventually, I think there's shame around that. And we don't deal well with shame in this country. So we just don't talk about it. And then suddenly you have a
kid. Well, you in particular, you're from Massachusetts. So.
Right. We don't really talk about it. And then you have a kid that maybe doesn't look like you or whatever. And the people, right. you know. I don't know. I think that's part of it. I think it's much better to know forever. I think it's really weird to have this unveiling because then it feels like you're right.
It's like a gender reveal. I hate those parties.
Me too. I think those are, even though I do like a cake. So please invite me because I will eat your cake. but yeah, I think it's weird. I think it makes it feel. I don't know. I think it's because in my head, if I was guessing, I think people used to do it because they wanted to believe, I guess, that you were related, blood related, and that somehow made you more of a family.
Right.
Where for me, because it is my family, of course it's my family. I don't need more. The blood doesn't make it more real.
I mean, you're one of the most down to earth, grounded people I've ever met in my life, I think. So it's like not surprising that you're able to deal with such a, something that people struggle with. You're just like, yeah, it's like, this is the life that I love and choose. And I think it's, it's amazing, but I'm sure that it's not like that for everyone.
No, I know it's not. Yeah. There's so many feelings about that, the abandonment of it all. I mean, I think right. I struggle with that, but I don't struggle with it in a way that is with my parents. Even when you said, and I get this a lot, I forgot what you said a couple minutes ago, like mom and dad, but then I'm revealing that it's this other thing. And it's like, I think if you're adopted, you're like, well, they are my mom and dad. It's like, it tinges that off of me. Like, oh, that's, they're not my biological mom and dad. Like people say that all the time, but your real mom and dad. Ooh, I'm like, yeah. They are my real mom and dad. And I think from having kids, it's like, just having a baby does not make you a mother. Yeah. Being a mother is getting up at night, bringing them to school, holding their hands. Aww. I know I'm going to cry, but I feel like that's what my mom and dad did for me. So I don't know anything. The people that biologically had me, I really had no, for me, and I'm sure if I saw a therapist, I'm sure it's all about shutting it out. I didn't really care about meeting. Now having my own kids, I would like to meet the woman who carried me to say thank you because I was born healthy and I was born at a great weight. And now having kids, I'm like, that's not to be taken for granted. So she took care of herself. I could have been born right with a bunch of problems and I wasn't. So thanks to that. And I also would like to know what they look like.
Of course.
Because now I have kids. Like I was saying earlier, I don't look like my family at all. Because we're, Latinx and my parents are white. And so my mom is very funny. She's always like, we have the same square faces, which we don't really have, but I love that she says that, right? But I'm definitely nature versus nurture. I have so much nurture of them inside me. It's crazy. It's like, it's, I like it because I can own all my nature. None of, they don't own any of my nature. And, but I get all right. the nurture from them. So I kind of like both of that.
Were you a baby when you were adopted?
Yes.
How old?
Six weeks old.
Girl. Could you imagine could you imagine giving up a child at 6 weeks? I mean, or I guess she never probably met you, I'm guessing.
No, I don't know either, but I what I take away from this, so funny, because I don't ever think of it that way. I think of it from the kid's perspective, because I have, having my kids, I'm like, yeah, I could have handed them to anybody at 6 weeks and they would have been like, peace. Like, when people say like, oh, totally the right. smell, I'm like, they don't give a shit. As long as someone's feeding them, all cool.
100%. 100%. Like, oh my God, are you feeding me? Do you love me?
Are you holding me and loving me?
Are you rocking me?
Yeah.
Please just somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. It's, I agree with you.
But yeah, it's crazy. Someone flew. I mean, it's different now. When I was adopted, they flew me up from Columbia to Logan Airport. My parents came to the airport, picked me up, and took me home. And when I was 6 years old, one afternoon, I'll never forget it, we used to have a brick, like a fireplace in the kitchen. And my parents, like, I was standing on the little brick edge of it. And my mom and dad came over, and my mom was like, do you want a baby sister? And I said, yes. My mother said, we're getting her tomorrow. And we went to Logan Airport, and we got my sister.
So for like the first 20 years of your life, you're like, well, babies come from airports, obviously.
Obviously. So easy.
You just go pick one up. Oh, yeah. I can do this.
I can do that. And then my cousin, years and years later, has adopted 3 Colombian children. I was laughing, like, our family's straight Colombian, the whitest people on the planet. And it's much different now. Now you have to go to Colombia, and they watch you with the kids. I mean, that makes much more sense.
Sure. Rather than putting them on a plane, they're like, here you go.
Here you go. Someone flying them up.
Oh, those are the days.
Those are the days. Just go and pick them up.
You can get a baby, but put a baby on an airplane and get it. Just fly right up.
Yeah.
So were your, so we didn't, I just to clarify, so your parents could not have children on their own?
No, they couldn't. And we, I don't love talking about it, but I want to be open about it because I think that's important. Mm-hmm. And I've had many friends who've had fertility issues. I ended up having fertility issues that talked to me freely about it because they knew my mom had them and they knew that was very open in our house.
Wow.
And so I have friends who grew up with, when they had trouble, were like, well, Jess, you get it. And I kind of did get it in a weird, I mean, then I really got it when I had my own. But yeah, my mom could get pregnant, mm-hmm. had been pregnant many times and just couldn't stick. But, I mean, she had one that my parents have talked about with me very openly that I think she was almost, maybe she was 8 months pregnant.
Oh, God.
And then she had to deliver the baby.
Oh, my God.
The baby had already passed.
Oh,
and my
God.
Dad talks about it to this day. It's the worst day of their lives.
Oh,
and when
now
I
you
was,
understand profoundly.
Right? And when I was 10, I think I was around 10 or 11, my mom was pregnant. And my sister and I went to hear the baby's heartbeat. I remember it plain as it went into Boston. We were there and the doctor put the, you know, thing on so we could hear the heartbeat. And there was no heartbeat. And I just remember my dad's hand coming on our shoulders and we were whisked out of the room.
Oh, my God.
And then we just went home and sat on the couch and my Nana came over and my grandmother came over and we all just cried. And it was never really taught. We had a name for the baby.
Oh, my God.
And so it's there. It's like that. It's there.
You are
and my mom and
connected.
I can now joke, not joke, but I'm often say to her, you know, I'm very sad you couldn't have kids yourself, but I'm also so thankful because I wouldn't be here.
Oh,
and she agrees. And my mom and I are very close, and it's not perfect, believe me, but very open about things. Mm-hmm. And on that same note, when I had trouble getting pregnant the second time, and I ended up doing IVF, my mom could not talk about that. She really, that was like the one thing I've ever done in my life. She could not go down that road. It really was way too close to home. My whole IVF, it took us twice. She could not go down that. And I'd respect that. She could not go down that road with us.
Yeah. And it is a weird moment when you realize how human your parents are. And like, they're like, oh, they're saints. They, you know, they had a hard time and then they adopted these children and then they took in another child from another family and like how great they are. But then suddenly you see.
Yeah, their pain.
The actual pain. And that's a strange day. And that's, I think, the gift of motherhood. And like why every parent is just like, become a parent, then you'll understand. Please. You know what I mean?
True.
I have a genuine question for you. And how would you like to see the world talk to you about adoption or about other people about adoption? What questions would you like to hear and what questions are you tired of hearing?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, my first thought is I wish people would just be more come from a place of love and openness about it rather than sadness and shame. And I get it comes from that because usually, I mean, I'm sure there are people who adopt who've always wanted to adopt, which I was one of them. And then, but most of the time it comes from people that have tried to have children biologically and can't. And so it there is a sadness, right?
Right.
And a giving up of a way you saw your life happening, and it's not happening that way. So I think we have to honor that. I think that's right. Very important to honor.
The cheap way to have a baby.
Right. And then I think to give into the love part of it.
What jokes or things, what things would you people like people to maybe not say? You know what I mean? Or what
my
things
biggest
are you
one
of?
Is really real. That just, that's the one that makes
like
me
like real
craziest.
Mom or real
yeah,
dad.
Your real mom makes me, I mean, not as it used to make me madder. Now that I'm older, I'm kind of like, oh, you're just ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, she is my real mom. I'd right away to say, oh, my real mom is my mom. I think you mean my biological mom. I just correct them immediately.
Yeah.
I think it's just that because it just, it feels like it, you know, takes away from your family. It's as if the people that have raised you your whole life aren't real. I mean, that's what you're saying, right? Because what you're saying is you're boiling it down to the person that has pushes you out of their body gets all the say.
Right.
And I don't believe that. I mean, obviously I don't believe that. I that's not how I was raised. I mean, I'm very thankful to whomever those two people were that made me into the woman that carried me. But she certainly is not my mother. She does not know me. She has not raised me. She does not know held my children for hours and hours, come and helped me out, supported me my whole life. I mean, that's my mom.
Yeah. I think adoption is a beautiful thing. Allows, I don't know, it gives children a better life because most kids that are adopted are on a train to not having the support and love that they need.
No,
and
right? They weren't ready or whatever, or something traumatic happened. Who knows why?
Who knows why?
But most of the, I would say 99% of the time, right? A woman is not willfully just giving up a child for no good reason. There's a reason why you would carry a child all the way and then give it up. That is one of the many, right, supreme sacrifices a human can make for another human, I think. After having a baby, carrying it, and then giving it up to someone else to have a better chance is, I mean, that's a huge sacrifice. And I'm so grateful to the woman that did that for me.
Yes.
So, forever grateful.
My takeaway from this episode is that I have a much deeper understanding of why people feel so uncomfortable about talking about adoption. I hope this episode has demystified the process for anyone considering adopting, and I hope we opened the conversation for anyone who was adopted. I know I learned a lot. Adopting isn't as easy as swiping left or right on a dating profile. My friends that have adopted were far better prepared to be a parent than I was when I had my daughter, but I'm glad she swiped right on me anyway. I'd like to thank my guests, Jean Villapique, Carrie Church Cooper, and the lovely Jessica Elena Eason for their open hearts. Thank you for listening. Please reach out to me through our website, motherofallshows.com, if you have any questions, thoughts, or topics you'd like to hear. We are all over social media at MOASPod. This podcast is produced by Jen Perilini, written by Rebecca Johnson, music by Jerome Kurtenbach, and edited by Veronica Gruba. I am a proud part of the Eros Network. Please subscribe and rate the Mother of All Shows on Apple, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you listen. It will really help us out, like a dog pee pad when your kid has neurovirus. We will have links to the topics and resources we discussed today on our website. See you for the next one. How does Tinder work? I missed all of that. Can you swipe left on laundry?
Erios. Powered by Acast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.